possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. And Evan's kind of fired up. I don't think the trade deadline went exactly the way that he wanted it to. I see some fire in his eyes. I see some talking about Brush Street, and he's not talking about the Lions. And he doesn't think they're the wonders of Witherall at this point, the Tigers. And I thought Scott Harris did join at the trade deadline, which I guess is a contrarian because most people seem to be very angry. I mean, there was panic in Detroit last night. You know, I came on after the game. But I think I did a pretty good job of talking people down from the bridge when they really look at it. First of all, the Tigers, we're about drafts, we're about prospects, we're about the future on this podcast. Tigers picked up two good prospects. One in particular, Hao Yu Lee, to me, is going to be a major league player probably for multiple years. I did talk to some people who scout that part of the country. He played in the Sally League this year. And that's a high A ball or a low A ball league that's on the East Coast, the part that he plays. There's a South and a North. So he played on Jersey Shore, probably did gym tan and laundry before he went and did his job. Now, look, he's a good prospect. He's 20 years old, won't turn 21 till February. He runs well. He is, in my opinion, a plus runner. That is evident by the amount of stolen bases he's had and success. He runs well running around, say, from home to from second to home. He does have a really, really good swing, and he does drive the ball. And I think he is going to hit with some power. He does have a stout build that's going to get stronger. He's short, but strong. He's going to project as a second baseman, although some see him at third. And Eddie Leonard is the complete opposite in some ways as a hitter. He's a wild swinger, but gets a lot of torque behind his swing. He's older. He's 22. He's going to be at AAA. He did reasonably well at AA. He's the Dominican signing who took a while to go through all those levels at the lower level. And then as he matured, started to play better. The reason he was available is the Dodgers didn't have room on the 40-man roster after making a couple deals. There's a 40-man roster that you have to keep players on. And if they're not on that list after a certain time in your organization, you have to expose them to waivers. And he would have been picked up, so the Tigers paid cash for him. And he may very well have been the player that the Tigers were trying to get from the Dodgers. And so that is, they get picked up players. Both could easily, by the end of the year, be in their top 10 prospects, with Lee in their top five. That's how good Lee is. They did very well in Lorenzen deal. I think the angst is coming from Eduardo Rodriguez and him staying and turning down the deal. And some of the things that I've heard have been ridiculous, but you evidently are upset about this. And so fire away, and I'll try to answer the questions. We can go back and forth because we've known each other since time started. So we're mad at each other. So you just tell me what your beef is with it.
Okay, I don't even really know where to start, but I'll start here.
Do you think at any point Erod said, yes, I would go to the Dodgers?
I have no idea. I have neither insight or insight on that.
Because here is where my issue lies, Pat. If I am the acting GM of a team, which Scott Harris is currently, I know he is the president. And this is just gathering what he said and then what the Dodgers president said yesterday after the failed trade went through or didn't go through, was that he had spoken. This is the Dodgers president, Feinstein, something like that, that he he spoke with Erod's agent multiple times, but family issues always overcame him going to the Dodgers. So my question is, do you think Scott Harris put all of his eggs in one basket with the LA Dodgers, where that was the only place Erod was going to go? Because what it seemed like to me is when that trade didn't go through, Erod said no, rightfully so. He has no trade clause. That's why you put it in those contracts. If you don't want to play somewhere, for whatever reason that might be, they put it in that contract. Do you think that Scott Harris was trying to make this move, hoping that he could convince Erod to go there? That's where I'm confused. Like, did he just only deal with the Dodgers? Did he play his hand too close and waited, and then there was nobody else there to make moves where other teams weren't going to sit around and wait for it, is what it seemed like.
Evan, I love you. I do. And you know that. But on that premise, which is, I use the word narrative a lot these days because narrative seems to be something that's used. I find that narrative to be ridiculous, utterly ridiculous. This is what I think happened. All right. And I said this before this all took place. I don't know if I said it on our podcast because we're so prospect specific. And I think the last one was about the draft, but I certainly said it during my shows that I felt like Michael Lorenzen was going to have more value than Erod, even though Erod's a better pitcher, obviously, and more proven. That contract that he has, that $50 million that's basically dismissed like it's nothing, is not dismissed in analytic rooms. That teams didn't like the way that passed the smell test. Because if something happens with Erod, then they're going to be on the hook for him for $50 million. And I know the Orioles went out and they got Flaherty or whatever, but the Orioles had the best match, and I thought something would come with the Orioles. It didn't. The Orioles had no interest in it. It was pretty obvious they turned their nose up to it. And if you think Scott Harris didn't talk to Baltimore about trying to trade Erod, then maybe, you know, you're not in the know, okay? Now, you say, do you know that for sure? Do I have insight on that? Maybe I'll get insight on that, but I certainly have insight on it. I don't think there was any interest in him. I think the only interest came from the Dodgers. And I think the reason the interest came from the Dodgers is they looked at it and said, Julio Reyes, who was so great for them a couple of years ago, he was 20-3. 26 years old. He dominated in the postseason in that kind of in-between role that Andrew Miller used to do and what Lorenzen may be doing if Philadelphia.
Yeah, the long relief or you need some
power. Yeah. And it's so important in the postseason. He has been awful this year. And he's eligible for free agent because he started in the major league so long. He's a free agent. And then the other one's Clayton Kershaw, who's also a free agent, who's having a very good year, but they limit the amount of innings he pitches a lot more than back when he was a horse. So I think they looked and saw Erod as a potential player that they could pick up who may have value to the future of them if, say, they were real successful and do it. But evidently, everything came back to there's an issue. He wants to play close to home. He lives in Miami, as people know, and he's been up and down the Eastern Seaboard, Baltimore, Boston, and one of the reasons he signed with was Detroit. If there was another team that was interested in him, they would have, and they would have taken a low total for him. They would have taken Eddie's Leonard for him because there was no value to him with free agent compensation or anything like that if he leaves and opts out of the contract. Now, what's plan B? Plan B may be to extend him. He seems to like it. He pitched well today. against Pittsburgh. This may be the place for him. He may not even opt out. So if he does opt out, he'll get a little more money, but I don't think teams are going to be going absolutely crazy for E-Rod, because there are a couple of issues here that just come up. There were some issues that came up last year, and he puts, it seems, a premium on where he is. He's made a lot of money in his life, more than, hey, I got to get that extra $20 million or whatever out of my contract. So it may work out okay for them. He may stay here for what his contract is or whatever. He may leave for nothing. And if that's the case, that's the case. But you can't make a market that isn't there. Scott Harris was very transparent about that. And he used the cliches like headwinds and all that. But in order to really get something at the trade deadline, you need one team to agree, but you need two teams to compete for leverage. And it was pretty clear that nobody else wanted him. And it was your analytics department looking at it. For example, Lorenzen fills a role that they can see analytically fitting them. And then they're done with him if they want to be. With E-Rod, he wasn't somebody that you necessarily put in that four-inning role. It would be out of his comfort zone. And spot start. And when it's done, you're not over with him. If he gets hurt, you're on the hook for $50 million. And some of these teams that are actually in contention, their payroll isn't much more than $50 million for this whole year. So, it works a little bit different than what people think. And I tried to explain that last night. Scott Harris cannot do – and if you're going to blame somebody, you blame Al Avila, okay, which people just love to do anyway, because Al signed him to that contract. He put those clauses in there. And when you do that, the chickens often come home to roost. And they came home to roost on E-Rod, the trade clause. And the fact that there wasn't interest in this, he's a really good pitcher. But the value of his desire for other teams to have him on the open market, far less than if he didn't have that contract in those situations there. And I knew that dominoes were dropping because Texas went out and got a couple guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Houston got Verlander. Giolito left. You know, I mean, it was, you know, you could see where the market was drying up for him fast. And obviously, you know, people are speculating what happened last year. You know, probably had something to do with his family life. And he's made that a priority in some way or another, maybe in ways that we don't know.
Now, when you say, you know, some of the blame can go on Al Avila, some of it can also go on the owner too, because he also signed off on that contract, knowing that Al probably wasn't going to be here that long anyway.
Well, at the time, going into 20, we have tons of revisionist history here. That's sure. The other thing that's make basically. My head doesn't literally explode and I don't get mad and throw my shoe at the radio or like when you say something like that, but I'll use it as a term. My head explode. Well, that's one of them. Going into 2022, Al Avila couldn't have been more secure in his job. He just got an extension, which wasn't well received at the time, but the Tigers played well above 500 for 4 months. So he was in no danger of losing his job. He was considered their long-term guy. And they were, as Chris Hill said, going for the win. They rebuild was done. He said that at the time, which that's what turned out to be the fool's gold. It wasn't. It was a mirage. They weren't very good. Players like Badu and Haas and, oh, man, they had a Candelario, all these guys outkicked the coverage and everything. They were awful in 2022. Mize out. Then eventually Scooble out, and it just fell apart. The whole organization imploded, both at the major league and minor league level to a degree. And then it had to be where Al went out. Man, people were like, you got to say he's got to be fired. I'm like, I don't even have to say that. You know, I mean, and the people got into the point where they just hated Al, and they blamed Al for everything. But that contract, the owner – not being a micromanager, letting his general manager do something, let him do it. And I knew at that time I had a bad feeling and I said this about those player opt-out contracts, they're not good. They sound good on the day you sign them, but eventually the player's got all the leverage, and right now they're stuck with Javi Baez. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if Javi Baez may opt out, I think it's more possible than people think, because he probably doesn't like playing here very much. It hasn't gone well for him, and he might bet on himself. He's one of those, and he's pretty talented. But, you know, they're stuck with him. Either way, if he plays well, he's gone. If he doesn't play well, they got to pay him, you know, $100 million forever. So it's that's the dynamic of it. The other one, too, is, you know, the revisionist history on the Verlander deal that I heard. And I heard mentioned by Jim. Costa, who we all love, and Jim knows his stuff. You know, so this isn't a blast, or don't take it personally on Jim, but it's like with you, I respect you, but your opinion I differ with. It's a factual thing. He said, "Well, I don't feel good that Justin Verlander was traded at 40 for a prospect that was better than what they got for him when he was in his prime."
Well, Franklin Perez at the time was a very highly sought after prospect.
Well, Franklin Perez at the time was, going into 2017, at 18 years old, I think he was at the start, the 54th best prospect in baseball, according to Baseball America. And when he was the fourth best prospect in Houston's system, ahead of Teoscar Hernandez, who's had a pretty good major league career, Grindel, who's had a pretty good major league career, and Yoran Alvarez, who's had a great major league career.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, and the three prospects ahead of him, the only one that was really good was Kyle Tucker, the three on that list. And he was 35th after the season and the Tigers' top prospect. He got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, pitchers, I mean, really in a bad injury that nobody could see coming. It wasn't like, well, they just didn't do their due diligence. And they do so much due diligence on pitchers, and they break down anyway because the arm, especially the shoulder, is such a mystery still. So revision history on these things. And they also got Jake Rogers, and who's right now going to be their catcher for a few years, granted a consolation prize considering what Verlander did in Houston. And they got Daz Cameron, who was a pretty good prospect at that time. Not in the top 100, but they got the Astros' 4th, 14th, and 20th best prospects and waited out to the last minute. That deal almost didn't get done, and it was a waiver deal back when they, you know, they had the August trade deadline, right?
Yep.
So, you know, where you'd have to pass through waivers. So that whole situation is completely different. And, you know, but that contract with Eduardo Rodriguez and the fact that they can't trade him, just to make a long story short, Scott Harris can't make wine out of water. He can't put his forehead on, and you know, the executives with the Baltimore Orioles and say, trade us to your second bid, Novato. You know, it does Norby. You can't do that. You know, it doesn't work that way. So it turned out, and I know a lot of baseball analysis an analyst came through with a lot of comments that Eduardo Rodriguez would be one of those guys. And I respect the people that do that. I personally just had a sense that Lorenzo was going to have value. And the Tigers didn't lose anything here. They lost nothing.
No, not at all.
They gained two players for their system. One in particular has a chance to be a major league regular. The other one, he doesn't really fit their MO, Eddie's Leonard, because he's a wild free swinger, but he's got a little zip to him. All right. Nobody knows where he can play. He's not a plus runner or negative runner or anything like that, but he's got a live bat. I mean, you know, he'll probably go to Toledo and knock out a couple home runs, but hit 190 or something. But he has a chance.
Now, there's one other question that I have involving the E-Rod no trade, and that is because we're talking narratives that people are saying that he loved it so much that he wanted to stay here. My question to that is, if he does indeed love Detroit and love this ball club and see things for the future, then why, I guess, regardless of the family issues, we're just putting that aside right now, why wouldn't you take that knowing that that would better your team for wanting to come back here? Do you see what I'm saying with that?
Yeah, if he opt out,
Yeah, you opt out, you come back and resign, and now the team's better because you helped them along the way.
Here's what I think. I think this is all speculation.
Well, and that's what we're doing.
Admittedly, I'm pulling this straight from my ass. Okay, all right. This is speculation, just as you know, knowing people. I think he was with the team in Pittsburgh. I think he was scheduled to pitch next day, and I think he felt comfortable. I think he talked it over with his family. Again, this is what I'm thinking.
Sure.
I think, you know, there might have been an issue about whatever. And didn't want to pick up and just fly to wherever the Dodgers are right now. Just right now.
It could be.
You know, and looked at it and said, nah, not doing it. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense from what I know of ballplayers. I mean, think about it, Evan. If you're somebody that's a major league player and you got tons of money, so money's mm-hmm. not an issue, all right, where would you rather be than L.A. with the Dodgers? I mean, they got a chance to win it all. L.A. is a place where you don't want to go if you don't have money and you're doing a regular job.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
God, you know, my house in Lake Orion with lake access and everything would be worth millions in L.A. but I wouldn't have a house like that if I were in L.A. I'd probably have a little ranch in West Covina or something. So if you got that money, that's place in the world to be. And with the best organization or one of the best organizations, and they got a kick-ass team. So from a ball player standpoint, and it's a great traditional place, I don't understand. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to go there. But obviously, there are other things that are more important to Eduardo Rodriguez. And I don't know if he loves Detroit, you know, per se, like we love Detroit having grown up here and all that. And he comes here and it's like a good town. I'm sure people like, most people come here, like it a lot.
Yeah.
They don't go leaving and saying bad things. To me, it's just a situation that, from a baseball standpoint, I understand where people are going, well, why did that happen?
Yeah. Do you want to hear my crazy conspiracy theory that I came up with this?
Hey, I have no problem hearing it.
All right. So back in, I'm going to go back with this one. I did a little legwork to see if I could connect the dots here, right? And this is only based off of the Dodgers president saying we have some of his former teammates here, which we thought would help. So one back in 2014, the Baltimore Orioles traded Rodriguez to the Boston Red Sox for somebody familiar here, Andrew Miller. On that same day, the Boston Red Sox also acquired then starting pitcher Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly then played with the Red Sox, but I don't know if you remember this. This is just from my research that I did. Joe Kelly and E-Rod were essentially fighting over that fifth starting spot on the young Boston Red Sox team. So I'm talking like 2016 or so. Right. Joe Kelly became erratic, and E-Rod ended up taking his spot in the rotation. Joe Kelly would then be sent down. And this is, yet again, conspiracy. I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm trying to connect the dots.
Well, I think I know where you're going on. Yeah.
Why you wouldn't want to go to L.A. So then Joe Kelly, if you look up multiple starts that E-Rod had with the Boston Red Sox, Joe Kelly would come in, and he would end up blowing the game, right? And one trade that was made before E-Rod and the L.A. Dodgers, the Dodgers went and reacquired Joe Kelly from the Chicago White Sox.
Right.
If you're familiar with Joe Kelly, Joe Kelly was totally against the Astros cheating scandal and everything that was involved there. My question is, maybe he just doesn't like Joe Kelly and doesn't want to play with that guy anymore. That was the only correlation that I could come up with of why maybe he didn't want to go to LA. If we're not talking family issues, stuff like that. Hey, like I said, I'm throwing crap against the wall. I have absolutely no idea. It's a conspiracy theory, but that was the only thing I could come up with is maybe he just doesn't like Joe Kelly.
Well, it could be in that circumstance. Players sometimes have that, and sometimes it runs deep. It's a lot less, from my experience in baseball, than it is in the NBA, for example.
Where sure.
It's like, they're almost like seventh graders trying to be the coolest guy on the playground all the time. A little bit different, but possible. But it seems like E-Rod's pretty mature.
You know, it when seems that way, right?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's got that type of demeanor. Joe Kelly's kind of volatile, but Joe Kelly's like 35 years old now. So yeah. He's calmed down, you know, a lot, you know, watching him since, you know, he started yelling, you know, at the Astros. I think he freaked out Carlos Correa, if I remember correctly.
Which, you know what?
He threw a pitch at Bregman.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was made for some entertainment, but I don't know, maybe.
Do you think we'll ever find out?
Pardon?
Do you think we'll ever find out?
I think eventually you will, but it might be after a point where it doesn't really matter anymore.
True. You know,
in my experience, this will blow over. And look, Rodriguez pitched well today, and he pitched well down the stretch. You know, people are going to be happy. They're going to want him to re-sign him. If they re-sign him, it may turn out to be a great thing. I understand the medium here that we do things on talk radio. I came in the Sunday of the NHL free agency, and Eisenman hadn't done anything. And the first couple hours, they hadn't done anything. I was on the air, and people were just absolutely freaking out. And by the time free agency was done, he improved his team immensely with five or six signings that were very well thought out analytically, improved the team, made them harder to play against, ultimately did complete a trade for Alex DeBrincat. So you have to let it play out. The way I look at it, and I'm not invested in it quite the way some are emotionally, I look at it more because I covered the game as a beat writer and all that. One thing I would tell you, don't judge the players based on their prospect ranking in baseball as much as people do. It's not as simple as, well, I got to get a top 100 prospect. That doesn't mean squat. It does to a degree, but I, as somebody, and I think I have some background in this because I did prospect rankings for years for Baseball America. I did the Tigers top 30. And players that are drafted in earlier rounds always get ranked a little higher. Players who are drafted a little later are always rated lower until they actually prove themselves. It's just the nature of it. And also, international signings are more difficult to get your grasp on. And you have to spend a lot of time at it. And even somebody like me, and I used to go down and watch all their minor league teams, it's not enough time to know what you really need to know to just absolutely nail it 1,000%. It's a good gauge, but it's not the be-all, end-all of everything. And each individual organization has their own way of doing it. And obviously, the good organizations do it better than the other ones. So that's the first thing I tell you. And the other thing, get off Scott Harris's ass. I mean, that's what I would tell everybody. Get off Scott Harris's ass because he's done a terrific job so far. Now, they haven't won anything. It's just a half a year. There's all kinds of different things that can go south. But he's done a terrific job, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that because, oh, you know, I just want to be positive about the Tigers. If he was doing a horse bleep job, I'd be the first to tell you if he were doing things that were crazy. But the way he structured that draft was outstanding. And I heard stupid things because I guess people don't understand baseball. And I understand that. Not everybody's into it like I am. Okay? I understand that. Been around it. And I'm not talking down to anybody on it. But when he took Clark, and which we mentioned Clark, and that was our guy, right? And, hey, Evan, we got it right again, you know, that type of thing, which is funny. We just text each other and said, yeah, the first person I heard was talk about Matt Clark with you, you know, and we text each other back and forth. But Clark was taken, and then they signed him for a slot value that was one lower, right? And people are, like, freaking out. Well, Max Clark doesn't care. You know, he was going to go fourth if they didn't take him anyway, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, and so he might have been fifth, and then it would have been less. So that made sense. They signed him right away. They knew – they already talked to his agent. They had it set, and that allowed them to sign Kevin McGonigal, who was a top – you know, top first-round draft pick that slid down to in-between rounds at 37. And he was hard to sign. He wanted to play college baseball. And he got a big bonus that was way above slot. And it allowed him to sign Paul Wilson, whose father, Trevor, was a major league pitcher. And they took him in one of the later rounds. And he got a huge bonus, like way above slot. But then they were able to sign him to keep him from going to Oregon State. So they picked up two guys because of that. And also when they drafted Max Anderson, they signed him below slot. They signed him a little bit above where, or drafted him a little bit above where I projected him to go. But you know, some people had him there. I thought he would be like a third rounder or something, infielder from Nebraska. And that allowed them to do that. And those often turn out to be your best players. So that draft could net a huge reward ultimately for the Tigers organization. And in the case of Clark, I don't think he's that far away. And McGonigal has real good bat-to-ball skills. He may move quickly. Wilson's more of a – they're going to have to work – he's a tall lefty who, you're going to have to work with him mechanically. But how many lefties do you find that throw in the mid-90s consistently when they're 18 years old?
Well, if you do, they're a unicorn, and they're drafted very, very soon.
Right. And so to me – and the kid that they picked up here, and just to give you an idea – Ho Yu Lee, okay? If you were a college player, he would be entering his senior year in college. That's what he would be doing. Now, watch him play. And I spend a lot of time watching him play, not just the highlights or whatever. Watch him play and then go watch a college game and tell me where he would fit in that college game.
Right.
And it's kind of like what people do with and I saw it happen this year with Beef Stew. Beef Stew is never going to be anything. Beef Stew is never going to be. The guy averaged 8 points or averaged 11 points and 8 rebounds at 21 in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, he came two to three. Excuse me? I mean, how many 21-year-olds shoot threes well? And he really developed some form, and he tripled it on the attempts that he had. And if you actually watch the Pistons, that percentage, he had a lot of balls go in and out. His percentage will go up that way.
And he's then also younger than five first-round draft picks from this year. So think about
exactly. That. So when we're looking at this, and this is, look, this is the purpose of this, you know, doing the podcast to a degree, because doing a show, it's hard for me to get into the whole roots of it. Because I think people want to know.
I did. And,
yeah, right, exactly. And I think, well, you know, and why players are taken and what their development curve is. And people want guarantees and all that. There are no guarantees ever with this. In baseball, really not. You know, I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Like Max taken, he was taken third overall. Baseball draft started in 1965. In that time, over that's a pretty good period, almost 60 years, right? You have only you're eight times more likely to be a Hall of Fame player in the NFL at third overall than in baseball. And baseball's got all kinds of different layers to it. You got guys coming out in high school, you got guys coming out in college, you got international guys. You got this player here who's signed out of Thailand.
The USPBL.
You're right. So
you're right. You can get baseball players anyway.
Well, they did get, you know, Robic did pretty well. And I laughed at the PBL. You're talking about. They've
got like almost 30 kids to minor league or major league contracts now.
Well, more than that.
It's crazy. Good for them.
But Andy Appleby's done a great job out there, and he cared about that. I cynically said, I don't like independent baseball. I don't think it's that good, but they've done a terrific job out there.
Well, and think about how many of those leagues exist across the United States that you're right. You can get baseball players. I mean, anywhere. It's almost like going back to a league of their own where they found the two girls at the cow farm. You know what I mean? But it doesn't matter if you can play the game. It doesn't matter where you played before. With Major League Baseball, what I found out. Pat, the one last question I have about Scott Harris, and I think you would be able to answer this better than most. Does he need to hire a general manager?
No. He needs to probably hire somebody, but it's semantics at this point. The general manager is really now the president of baseball operations.
Well, that's like what the Dodgers has. They don't have their GM. It's the president of baseball operations.
He wasn't the GM in San Francisco. It was actually Fairhan, you know, was the GM. I think I pronounced it. I always have trouble with it, but that guy's great. He's president of baseball operations there. He's worked with two of the best in the business.
Oh, Theo Epstein.
Yeah. So he's well qualified, and it shows.
So the moral of the story is patience, right?
Well, the moral of the story is, I don't know what the moral of the story is, because baseball is more complex. And I think for a general fan base or for even folks that work at the station who know baseball pretty well, I mean, everybody that goes on the air at our station knows baseball well, more than because they follow me close. It's not like, oh yeah, I don't know anything about baseball or whatever. I don't think so. But the thing is, it's a lot deeper, and there's a lot more roots to it and tentacles as things grow. It takes overreacting, and I think hockey is that way to a degree. I think, Evan, we're so in tune to like the way the NFL works, and the NFL, one of the beauties of it is you can follow it year round with free agency, the draft, all those different things. And if you're multitasking as a media member, where you got to cover all the sports, and the NFL is the most popular, it's easy to follow in a degree and to get to in a degree, and it's covered enormously. the other sports, but particularly hockey and baseball, not so much. And it takes a lot of tentacles. And I follow it so closely because I love it. It's not like, oh, it's my job and I'm working so hard. I just love all those different aspects of it, and started enjoying that early in my career. When you're a beat guy, you know, you really start to understand how things are, and just got very interested in it. But before I got into the media and was exposed to that, I wasn't following it that closely. You know, I'm totally a sports freak, as you know. I mean, beyond, you know, anything. So, but my point isn't to, like, say, hey, man, I'm the smartest guy in the room and I know this and that. But when things come down like this and I hear certain narratives, and there's that word again, I use it a lot these days. Maybe I have to come up with another one that are true. And based on facts, I do feel like, okay, like I said today, stay off Scott Harris's ass. All right. He's not Matt Millen. He's not Al. He is more equipped, better equipped, and I knew Al very well. Al, ultimately, people won't hate him as much, ultimately. He's a nice man. He's a good baseball man. And actually, some of these players that he drafted and brought in, the Kerry Carpenters and Bo Briskies and Tarek Skubals and Riley Greens and Torkelson, Jake Rogers, Alex Lang, some are going to be pretty good. And so people won't be going, they don't have anybody that they've ever gotten from Al. But Scott Harris is much better qualified to be the Tigers general manager, and it's shown so far. You can take that from whatever it's worth. He was the ideal hire, and what he did at the trade deadline with the Eduardo Rodriguez thing, it's a blip on the screen compared to the other things that they're doing.
I agree. I mean, I think you put it really well. I'm glad we had this talk, because you're right. I mean, there's narratives going around, and it's a good topic of conversation. And like you said, we may never know what actually happened, but you're probably closer to what really happened than my whack-a-mania theory of he just doesn't like Joe Kelly. But you know what?
I know what your headline's going to be. Stay off Scott Harris's ass.
I mean, shouldn't it be?
Just stay off his ass, because he doesn't deserve that. Like, oh, yeah, this is just, you know, and it was the same with Eiserman. I mean, come on. I mean, people were like going crazy about Steve friggin' Eiserman.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of get a kick out of that one, but.
No, but I mean, we think about it. You know, it's like, and Eiserman, it's like, well, he's in his fifth year. It's like, yeah, but one of the years, half the year, they didn't even have, weren't able to play while the other team were playing in that bubble. You know, this player development system was they would go on the road in Grand Rapids and play Chicago in the practice rink. That was why I watched a game on AHL TV, and it would be like the netting, you know, that the camera went through.
Oh, that's good.
No, nobody, it's like, and he inherited the worst mess possible, and he's put the Red Wings in the best position they could possibly be at this point. Ah, man, he's 5 years. Not even in his fifth year yet.
We're just starved for winning, Pat.
Oh, you know, Evan, that is absolutely, and I understand it. I do. I do. And like I said, I'm not trying to be a preacher up here or something, but and I do understand it. And it was so good before. Remember when the Pistons were in the Eastern Conference Finals every year?
April and the D, man.
Pistons. Yeah, no more April and the D now, man. That one's gone by the wayside. Now,
but, yeah, no, we had it really good. We really did. And now we
don't even the Lions that one year in 2011. I remember they had that game at Ford Field, and the Tigers were playing the Rangers in the postseason. And yep. You know, it's like it was helping lead Detroit back out of the recession and everything. And we haven't had that much excitement lately. But when it does hit, I think it's going to hit, and I think. Obviously, the Lions are in the right direction. I don't think it's a myth here. Don't forget to check out our podcast. We did a special podcast on that called Can't Make This Up, in which we go over a lot of the things that happen with Lions. We may do one later on that. And also with the Tigers and the Red Wings, especially the Red Wings, I think they got a chance. And the Pistons, Gabe Cunningham, I saw some video of him. He's looking pretty good, man. He's looking buff.
That looks dunk?
Like, yeah, that was he had a couple good dunks, though, his rookie year.
Pat, there's one thing I got to pump the brakes. I saw somebody subtweet that video and was like, he's never had hops like this. And I'm like, I expected some Vince Carter type stuff. And I'm like, if your 6'8" basketball player can't dunk, you got bigger problems right now.
No, he had a great dunk his rookie year where he took.
Oh, yeah. Then he pointed at somebody and got a tech.
Yeah, and he got a tech. You know, the refs are real nasty.
We know that. That's not his game.
Yeah, Evan, I want to emphasize people like us and download us at the Google Play Store, Apple iTunes Store. That's, you know, especially, and Odyssey.com. And we'll be doing this as time goes on. We got podcasts up on the 2024 draft already. I mentioned that Lions podcast, which is pretty good and people seem to like, and just a lot of things that we're doing. And we appreciate you listening. So any feedback you give me or Evan, we appreciate it. And Evan, I appreciate very much what you do. And thanks for calling me out today.
No, thank you, Pat. I mean, just great to talk baseball. It really is.
It is. And, you know, one thing about this summer, the Tigers have been interesting. It's way better than last summer.
I still turn on every game. I do. Yeah. Last year I wasn't, but this year I am. I mean, I'm still intrigued. I still root for Torque. I root for Green. And, you know, I root for Cabrera.
I can't wait till we get you to tune in to every hockey game.
Yeah, we're probably a few years down the road from that one. Or they start paying.
You love those Stoops. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.